2 years ago this day, there was a celebratory toast between Flint's then-Mayor Dean Walling and emergency manager Darnell Early.
Here's to Flint.
Here's to Flint.
Here.
Yep, it was the day Flint turned off the water from Detroit after some 50 years and turned on water from the Flint River. Water we now know was not treated with corrosion control chemicals. Water that went on to corrode pipes and caused lead to leach into people's drinking water. With us now to reflect on these past 2 years is MLive and Flint Journal reporter Ron Fonger, one of the first journalists to start digging into this story. Ron, I'm wondering, from the point of that water switch, you know, the here and the toasting with the glasses of water 2 years ago, how long before you started getting a sense something's not right?
It didn't take long. It was just a matter of weeks after that when we started going to the Flint City Council meetings and folks would be showing up with their little brown jugs of water and water bottles saying, I don't know what it is, but something's not right with my water. It doesn't smell right. It doesn't taste right. And it's got a funny color to it. And almost immediately after that, we started having boil water advisories in the city because we had too much bacteria in the water. And then we found out we had too much of a byproduct of chlorinating the water, something called TTHM in our water. And then we found out we had too much lead in our water, and so on and so on. And so it's just been almost an immediate string of calamities after that switch took place.
It's amazing to think what the 2 years have brought to Flint. I'm wondering, what are your feelings, Ron, as you think of the people you've come to, you know, report on in Flint and the stories that you have been telling for these 2 years?
There's some satisfaction in that we finally saw the state of Michigan acknowledge problems that were being denied for a long time. But I think there's also just a kind of a sense of exasperation here. There'll be people protesting out in front of City Hall today to mark this anniversary. And we're still in a position where the local officials, the state officials, and the federal officials are telling us that it is still not safe to drink water straight out of the tap here. And to think that that's been going on for 2 years is an incredible burden that this people in this city should not have had to go through.
Since this blew open and became a national and even an international story, and then, as you say, the state finally admits, yep, things were you know, things aren't as they should be, and the story is unfolded. Who do you think has done the best job of advocating for Flint in whatever capacity, elected, whomever? Who do you think has done well for Flint?
Well, there's no doubt who's done it the longest, and so that would be the people who live here who have, I don't know, if you've ever gone and tried to stand up to City Hall on anything from, you know, when the garbage gets picked up to whether you have to rake leaves into the street during pickup time, it's not easy to get things to change. And you had people who went out on a limb and you know, they knew something wasn't right, and they kept advocating, and they kept making noise about it. A lot of people have credited, and rightly so, because this whole situation has evolved as they became involved, have given credit to Dr. Mona Hanna-Attisha and Professor Mark Edwards for their roles in identifying the problems with the water here and being willing to risk their professional reputations by going up against the system, I guess, you know, the bureaucracy that was in place here that was denying there was anything wrong.
Do you have any sense that the national attention to Flint's problems is flagging? I mean, we're still trying to get a Flint aid package through Congress. And even with national media attention, is it flagging?
Yeah, I think it most certainly has been. I think here in the state of Michigan, this story remains right in the bullseye for people who are reporting news from Michigan on a daily basis. But in terms of the, you know, national attention that was coming to this story, particularly, you know, when the presidential debate was here right around that time, when there was testimony going on in front of the congressional committees in Washington, you know, there have been peaks then when we've had media from other places that have gotten involved. So we're a little bit at a lull right now, but there are a lot of people who are continuing to watch how this story evolves. Last week, I went to one of the largest press conferences, maybe the biggest press conference that I've ever seen in my life, when the Attorney General for the state announced the first three criminal charges in relation to the Flint water crisis. There were a lot of media from outside Michigan at that news conference. So, you know, in terms of it being followed on a day-to-day basis, that's not happening, but it's being watched by those in Michigan on a daily basis, and those from outside are still watching as well, even if they're not reporting every single day.
Ron, how long do you think you'll be reporting stories about this, what happened 2 years ago today?
I think we can safely make an appointment to talk again a year from now. I certainly hope that we're in a position where the water in Flint is safe to drink directly out of the tap without a filter or without having to use bottled water by then. But you have a lot of lawsuits, civil lawsuits that have been filed. You have criminal investigations that are going on at the state and the federal level, as well as the local level, that have not fully played out. The Attorney General is all but guaranteed that more charges are to come in his investigation. So I'm afraid we're still going to be talking about it a year from now, but I hope Flint's water is better by then.
Ron Fonger, MLive and Flint Journal reporter. Ron, great talking with you, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
We turn now to Flint resident Amber Hassan. And Amber, we last spoke with you in January. You were withholding your water payment because we want to remind everyone, even though you were getting lead-poisoned water out of your tap, you and your Flint neighbors were still getting billed, and those water bills were among the highest in Michigan. Where do things stand for you now?
Well, as far as the water bills, they have given us credits for our water bills. I think they gave me a credit of about $1,700 credit.
And now are you paying what you're, are you still getting bills? How is that working?
They just sent the credit like Saturday. So I don't know if they're going to continue billing us or what have you, because they still haven't fixed the issue. The water is still contaminated.
Give us a sense, if you can, Amber, how is your life different today from the way things were 2 years ago before anybody knew what was going to happen from drawing water from the Flint River?
Well, I think most Flint residents, even though we didn't know, you know, the extremity of how bad the water was, we knew that the water wasn't good. So people started taking measures then as far as their drinking water. But we were still, you know, brushing our teeth with it and things like that. I mean, it's just like we've gone from just buying bottled water to drink and cook with, to now we get bottled water from organizations from the state. Even sometimes we still have to buy it. But now we're doing everything with bottled water.
It's stunning to think that there was a time 2 years ago when you opened a tap and you never thought twice about the water.
Twice. You know, my whole life, Flint has had some of the, you know, highest quality drinking water because we were getting it from Detroit. And, you know, it was such a good source. And so we never had that thought in the back of our mind, like, oh, the water might be poisoned. But as soon as they went to the Flint River, we knew how contaminated the Flint River had been, you know, since General Motors had been in Flint. So like 100 years. So we knew that we couldn't just jump to using that water and everything was going to be okay.
Amber, what has it been like for you and your neighbors in Flint, seeing your city become the focus of international news stories and basically becoming the symbol of environmental injustice?
You know, it's kind of like, on one hand, we're like, yeah, people are paying attention to what's going on in Flint, because other than the environmental issues, we have so many other issues that we're dealing with. But on the same token, it's like, are people, you know, looking at us and giving us attention because we're the next thing, you know, we're the next cause, and they're going to pay us attention for a few months and then everything is going to go back to usual and nobody's going to remember us? Or is it going to be something where there's a systematic change? And I just being in Flint, it almost feels like, you know, Hurricane Katrina, Louisiana type thing. Like, people are going to shove a whole bunch of, you know, resources. We don't know where they go to, who they go to. And then in a year's time, nobody's going to pay attention. And that's what it feels like.
Amber, when you think of then Mayor Dane Walling and Emergency Manager Darnell Early, and they were standing there toasting each other with the glasses of water 2 years ago, here's to Flint, and pushing that button, what do you wish you could say to them now?
Oh, there's so much that I wish I could say that cannot be aired on radio. But I probably would say, you know, karma isn't very friendly. So you know, in my opinion, the energy you put out is going to come back to you. So they can't run from that. They can't hide from that. They can't fame their way out of that or use their position to get away from that. It will come back to them. Everything that they've done, you know, any lies that they've told, that stuff will come back. And they'll know it when it comes back.
Amber, do you ever feel like a day is going to come when you can open up a tap, fill up a glass with water, drink it, and not have to feel anything, just have it be normal?
Nope. Recently, I was out of town, and it took me maybe 3 or 4 days before I realized, like, oh, you can use the water here. And even my one-year-old, he's maybe had, like, 3 baths his whole life, like, real baths. And he was scared at first. Like, he wasn't used to being in a bathtub. So it was kind of a new experience for him. And like I said, by day 3, he was back used to it. But then he comes back home and he has to be, you know, washed up with wipes and bottled water.
Amber Hassan of Flint, it was great to talk with you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
No problem. Thank you.